This is Success Journal Podcast number 19. I'm Chris Whitting. Coming up on this episode, color influences us in more ways than you might think. We'll tell you which color to avoid wearing or seeing when you're about to take a test. Then, information marketing is a $50 billion industry, but it's a business anyone can get into at low cost, with potentially high returns.
And I actually met a kid who was 19 years old. He had built a business over the previous 8 months, generating $170,000 for himself. And it was this. So over the 7 months, thinking that I was some hotshot, this kid had made $170,000.
And a chemist heats up a new substance and creates a cool product. Plus, you'll hear about the marshmallow test that's a reliable predictor of lifetime success. And a scientist finds a way to move water and soaks up a fortune. Success Journal starts right now. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/successjournal. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
The Success Journal Podcast. Informative advice from leading experts. Helpful, practical tips to enhance your career, your income, and your personal freedom. The Success Journal Podcast with Chris Whitting.
Hello and welcome. You know, we talk about virtually every aspect of success on this podcast, all except for one that we steer clear of, frankly, and that is the get-rich-quick hype and instant wealth, so-called biz op stuff, business opportunity stuff, and you often find that on the internet. Most of that is pie in the sky. It's fantasy. And if you ask any successful person how they became an overnight success, well, they're probably going to tell you about the years of hard work that went into getting rich quick. Still, for somebody willing to work hard, who has a good idea for a product or service, the sky is the limit, and one popular option is information marketing. Information marketing is selling advice, such as a how-to course or video training, coaching, that sort of thing. And our first guest today is a recognized expert at this, and he is standing by to tell you all about how to get started in the business, and we're going to hear from him moments from now. But first, we're influenced by color more than you might think. In fact, when taking a test, you probably want to avoid seeing a certain color. And this is because color carries meaning to us. And this is from a study at the University of Rochester. Participants were shown a flash of the color red before taking a test. And those participants scored significantly lower on the tests than participants who were not shown red. One theory is we associate red with mistakes and corrections on school papers, and that association triggered the poor test results. And depending on the situation, just seeing a color, a certain color, can have a real effect on our behavior. Well, next up, a 60-second Success Journal story about a chemist who heats up a new substance and creates a cool product. Leo was a chemist who loved to experiment. When he'd mix up something for the first time, he never knew quite what to expect. His latest project was to create a substitute for old-fashioned shellac. But when Leo mixed a substance derived from coal with a liquid preservative and heated the stuff, he was shocked when he looked into the container. Leo had created the world's first plastic, a rock-hard substance that could be molded and shaped into new products. Soon, Leo's plastic was being used to make everything from billiard balls to telephones. Its name comes from Leo's last name, Bakeland. The stuff is called Bakelite. It made Leo Bakeland a millionaire and helped him create an indestructible fortune. The information marketing industry reportedly generates over $50 billion in annual revenue. But it's not just the province of big business. Many small businesses and solo entrepreneurs are earning great money with information marketing. Our next guest is an expert at this. He's Robert Scrobe, co-author of the official Get Rich Guide to Information Marketing on the Internet, published by Entrepreneur Press. Robert, I'm sure we have listeners right now who could use some extra income. Tell us why information marketing may be a good option for them to consider.
I'm glad you asked, because it's never been a better time for folks to create their own business. Well, today on the Internet, you can create an entire business with zero investment. Literally putting no money into the business, you can create a website and start taking orders over the Internet. And it's really a powerful tool.
Now, that sounds terrific, Robert, but how are you able to start a business and sell things that you don't own and that you don't have to pay anything for? That does sound a little hard to believe.
You know what? There's a lot of people that promise, send us money and we'll create a website for you that generates all of these sales. Frankly, anything that promises money without work is not true. I wish it was there, and I can tell you I've tried finding all of those things, and unfortunately, they just are empty promises. But creating your own website, what we recommend is for you to promote and sell information products on your site. And you know, the things that we're going to talk about in this will be appropriate for anybody, any business that's creating a website that wants to generate more customers through their site. But if you're just getting started from scratch and you don't yet have a product, I recommend that you sell information products, which are products that can be audio programs, manuals, home study courses that can help people create and do things. You know, one of the most common things that people say is, oh, I just don't know anything. One example that was in the book, his name is Dan Levis, and he was just starting out in information marketing. He interviewed six experts about a particular topic, and he kind of figured out what he wanted to talk about and what he thought that would really sell well, and he didn't have that information, so he called up the experts and interviewed them and recorded the interviews. Then he set up a website to sell everything these six experts are revealing about how to do this system. He actually created that product 5 years ago. And every day on his website, he generates two or three sales at $195. Now, it's not a lot of money, but it certainly helps pay the bills. And, you know, he got started without any knowledge himself.
It sounds like if somebody's willing to hustle a little bit and do some work, as you say, you can't just sit on the couch in your underwear and expect money to roll in. You've got to do something, but you don't necessarily have to invest money or send somebody a lot of money in order to make this work for you.
You don't need to send a bunch of money. You don't need to invest a lot. It just takes a little bit of time and some consistent effort. One of the neat things you had mentioned about sitting on your sofa in your underwear, it can do a lot of work just from an ordinary computer with an internet connection. So it's something that you can actually create while you're currently employed by working in the evenings and on the weekends. I had a friend of mine, and years ago he set up a website teaching people how to shoot pool. Seems like a kind of an interesting product, a set of videos and a manual on how you can be a better pool player. And he set up his computer so that every time he got a new sale, it would make a cash register noise. So he would be playing pool or sitting on the couch watching TV, and he'd hear this ka-ching. Got pretty soon where all the kids and, you know, everybody was, every time there was a ka-ching, everybody was like, yay! Because for him, that was like another $49 sale of somebody buying his how to shoot pool product. So you can be open 24 hours a day, but it doesn't require you to be there 24 hours a day.
Well, these stories are very exciting, but let's face it, there are countless websites that offer products for sale, but many of those sites don't generate much income or maybe none at all, right? I mean, how many websites are on the internet?
Millions of websites around. Very few of them are successful in actually generating money. But once you know how to do it, as a set formula. That's why it doesn't really matter for us to reveal how this works, because there's so many millions of ways and products that people could sell that it's never going to conflict with any of the websites that we've created. But yet, once you have these skills it can really help you land the next job. Also, one woman that we profile in the book, her name is Beth Davis, and she is actually a hand reader, which is kind of like a palm reader, except you read the whole hand. And you know, she wanted to create an internet website and get customers online because hand reading was really what her dream and goal was, but she didn't want to have to be limited only to her area. So she figured out a way for people to make a print of their hands on paper. And so now she takes orders and, you know, she sells her hand reading, I think, for like $300. And so for $300, then she ships out a kit where the customers can make a print of their hand and then send it back to her. And then she's able to do the reading over the phone with the customer rather than having to be there face-to-face. You know, she gets to do something that's her dream, but that she really loves doing, and yet she doesn't have to show up at an office. She doesn't have to do all the hectic day-to-day stuff of having a job.
Robert, I see here you started your first business when you were 23 years old. There's got to be a story there. What was that all about?
Well, you know what? I actually started as in network marketing as an Amway distributor. I had gone to college and became a CPA and really dreamt of being in public accounting all the time. And then when I was in public accounting, it really wasn't what I thought I wanted to do. And so I turned to sales and creating my own business. What I have found since creating that business, that those skills helped me do all the businesses that I needed to do since, because I was able to learn direct sales, how to talk with customers and how to make sales and how to stand up in front of a room and do a sales presentation. So it was really those skills I learned as an Amway distributor that helped me build all the businesses that I run now. In fact, I have 14 businesses that I run simultaneously together with my team. It was really that foundation that's helped me do everything else.
I've heard it said that there are no marketing secrets, that really all the information is out there. The key is to actually take action and apply it. Would you agree with that?
I would. For a number of years when I was starting my information marketing business, you know, I was a successful business person. I was making great money, and I really thought that I knew everything. And so I set out and started building my product, and I was going to show them all. And I would work a couple hours a day here and a couple hours there and try to tinker around with this thing. And I actually met at a Dan Kennedy meeting that he had hosted a kid who was 19 years old. He was brand new, didn't know anything, was actually still in college, and he had built a business over the previous 8 months generating $170,000 for himself. And it was this internet business. And so over the 7 months that I was tinkering around thinking that I was this some hot shot, this kid had made $170,000. It is absolutely true. What he did was he completely followed the advice that Dan had laid out, where at the same time I was too smart, you know, because I was some hotshot accountant. I had my own way. So yes, all you have to do is follow the steps laid out, and you know, we've laid them out on the book, and step by step, that's all we're doing is just following the model. You can become successful too.
There's some sayings such as perfection is the enemy, or just good enough is all right. Those are pretty important things to keep in mind, I guess you would agree.
Yeah, and I think that was my main problem was, you know, I wanted everything to be perfect before I launched my product. And what I've learned is that you have to launch first and start generating customers. And there's a little bit scary to start creating a sales letter and marketing a product, maybe even before you've finished the product completely, because, oh my goodness, what's going to happen if somebody buys?
Sure.
But what I found is that a lot of us entrepreneurs, we have ideas we know are just going to be perfect. But then when we go to sell it, it's not quite as perfect as we thought. And I've had businesses where I created a information product, spent months and months creating it, only to realize when I try to sell it, is my customers didn't want an actual product, they wanted a seminar instead. And so I could have saved myself 6 months worth of product creation if instead I just started selling and then let that selling process tell me, oh, shoot, instead of selling this, I just need to turn around and start a seminar. Now, it is important to go back and clean up later, but you can't try to make it perfect before you sell, because those customers, they're going to tell you, hey, I don't want this, I want that, or, you know, I wish I had this other piece of information. So you're going to have to fix it later anyway. You might as well just get started.
I imagine somebody listening right now is hearing you talk about selling information products, and they're thinking, this sounds like it could be a good idea, but nothing jumps out at me. I have no particular interests or ideas in mind for creating such a product. What would you say to that?
I hear this question a lot. When you start talking with them, they generally have a hobby, you know, whether it's knitting or flying remote control airplanes or NASCAR or something, or they have a job specialty. You know, in the book, we profile a woman named Milana Leshensky, and she's actually an immigrant. She came over to the USA from Russia, and she started as a website programmer. She was trying to build websites that help people make money, and when she figured that out, then she was able to turn around and create an information product about creating websites. And so in your job, in your business, very often, if you've solved problems that have normally faced you, there are other people in other businesses that haven't solved those problems yet. So things that you find so patently easy are actually really new and revolutionary to others within your same industry. It's just a matter of packaging what you know. Even if you think you take it for granted, you'll find that others will have a high value on that information.
You told a story a few minutes ago about a 19-year-old who just had a tremendous success starting his business. How big a factor is age? It seems like for people in their 50s and up that this stuff's easy for the kids, but for them it might be a little difficult. Do you know of stories of people who are older who've been successful at this?
Most definitely. And in fact, even though you would think, oh, well, if it's on the internet, I'm going to have to know a lot about programming websites, because I don't know anything about programming a website. I don't do anything myself. It's not on purpose. I just don't know how to do it. So I hired a web guy. I just type everything in Microsoft Word and give the web guy instructions. And because people who can do web work, you know, can be a high school student or a college student, quite frankly, you can get started rather quickly. So it's something that if you know the steps of making a sale, that is all you really need to know. And that's how to get a visitor, how to make the visitor feel comfortable, and how to get that visitor to actually buy. None of that involves the computer or technology. It's all the same sales tools that you've learned as a business person or a salesperson.
How much could you potentially make if you really come up with a product that people want?
It varies, because it could be anything from, you know, $1,000 a month that goes to supplement your income to several hundreds of thousands of dollars a year on the internet. And it really depends on the type of product and how much time and energy you're willing to invest in the business. To be honest, you're not going to create $100,000 income working 2 to 3 hours a week. If you want to make $150,000 or $200,000 on your website, it's going to be a 20 to 30 hour a week commitment of either your time or a web guy's time in order to get that website to generate traffic and to make those sales. But 2 to 3 hours a week, you could easily expect to make an extra $1,000 a month or $1,000 every couple weeks in order to supplement your income.
I think it was Inc. magazine about a fellow who started a dating website. I think it said he's now grossing $10 million a year and he works 2 hours a day. And if it wasn't actually printed in the magazine, you'd say that's impossible. But there are some people out there who have had that kind of success, I guess, huh?
That's true in any business. But you know, he has an infrastructure and a team of folks in place to handle the customer inquiries, to handle the setup. You know, one of the nice things about an internet business is that once it's set up and working, then you don't have to go back and fix it. It doesn't break down like a machine does, because it's just technology. And that's really why I'm able to operate 14 businesses. I can set one up and let it start working, mm-hmm. generate traffic to it, and then leave it alone, and I don't have to go back and fix it. It just continues to operate. You know, there's customers that have emails or questions every now and then, and that can get handled by a part-time person or me when I get around to it. That is the beauty of the internet, is it doesn't have office hours, it doesn't have a location, it doesn't have holidays that you have to work. It just operates on its own with the computer. Talk to a guy who set up a blog, and he markets 5 different people's products on that website, mm-hmm. and he actually makes $110,000 a year, never created a product, he never ships out a product. All he did is set up a blog, a website, and posts information there and makes those products available and lets people know about it. And he has a very nice internet marketing business.
Robert Scrobe, co-author of The Official Get Rich Guide to Information Marketing on the Internet, published by Entrepreneur Press. Robert, we want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me on your program. I appreciate it.
Still ahead on today's podcast, the eye-opening test that involves a marshmallow. It's an accurate predictor of lifetime success. And then the story of a scientist who finds a way to move water and soaks up a fortune. For you, the listeners of the Success Journal podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. And there's a great book I want to recommend wholeheartedly to you. It could easily be called life-changing, yet it's been around for decades. And when I tell you it was written by Dale Carnegie, you'll probably assume I'm talking about How to Win Friends and Influence People. No, that is not it. The book I think is much more powerful is titled How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. How to Stop Worrying and Start Living by Dale Carnegie. It is old school, but it is packed with brilliant, time-tested advice that's going to hit you right between the ears. And the audiobook is unabridged, narrated by the late, great Andrew McMillan. And you can get the audiobook, How to Stop Worrying and Start Living, or any other book you want, absolutely free. Just go to audibletrial.com/successjournal. That's audibletrial.com/successjournal. Would you like to know the secret to sweet success in work and life? If you've never heard the answer to that question, keep listening. And if you have heard the answer to that question, then you'll know the meaning of Don't Eat the Marshmallow Yet. Here to explain all this is the author of the book Don't Eat the Marshmallow Yet, Joaquin Posada. So tell us, what's the meaning behind that phrase?
That's based on these experiments done in Stanford University many years ago, where they took 4-year-old kids individually. They put them in a room, mm-hmm. they gave them a marshmallow, put them in the table and a chair, and the psychologist said, Sonny, I'm going to go out of the room for 15 minutes. When I come back, if the marshmallow is still here, I will give you another one. If you ate it, then you will not get another one. Hmm. Well, what happened? A lot of the kids, when the door closed, they immediately went to the marshmallow and ate it. Some of the kids did not. Some of the kids just looked at the marshmallow, went around the room. Some of them licked it and put it back, mm-hmm. and they did not eat it. Well, when the experimenter came back to the room, handed the kid another marshmallow. What's interesting, Chris, is that 12 years later, 14 years later, there was a follow-up on all these children, and absolutely 100% of all the children that had not eaten the marshmallow were successful. Huh. They had good grades, good relationships. They were doing wonderfully in life, and a lot of the kids that ate the marshmallow had great problems in adjusting. They left school. They were not doing well. So that gave us an idea that we can categorically say that this marshmallow experiment will be a better predictor of success than anything else that you could take, even an IQ test or whatever.
I guess it's delayed gratification is what we're talking about here. But it seems like in this country, we're all about eating the marshmallow. You know, everybody
exactly,
wants
Chris.
Everything now.
Exactly, Chris. That's a very important point. Really, we need to change the way that we're handling ourselves, or we're going to be in very bad shape. In fact, even our own country, we have a deficit that is so huge because we're eating all the marshmallows now.
Is this something you can learn, or is it just something you're born with as
a kid?
Well,
I'll tell you, I must be honest with you and tell you that genetically, at 4 years old, those children that did not eat the marshmallow, obviously, in their genes, they had that ability to show restraint. However, I do think that this can be learned, and I do think that behavior can be modified, and we can teach techniques to people, even if they're not genetically inclined to be able to do so.
As you point out in your book, when you delay gratification, you get all sorts of benefits in your career, in your saving money for retirement, and in your health if you don't eat everything.
If you buy a $5,000 watch when you're 27, when you're 65, well, if you did not buy that watch and you put that money, you save that away, you would have $263,000 saved.
Mm.
You know why? Because I bought that watch when I was 27 for $5,000.
Oh, wow.
And I still have that watch right now, and I do not have $263,000 that I could have had.
And the watch is probably worth less than what you paid for it now.
Exactly.
So you were not one of these people who didn't eat the marshmallow, but you've learned since then, obviously, and you've written the book, you've learned some things that you can apply to become more like that.
Absolutely. Right now you're wondering, what would you have done when you were 4 years old? Would you have eaten the marshmallow? We would know if you ate it or not. You know how we would know? We have to go to your bank account. We have to see your assets. If you're 40 or 50 and you are broke and you live check to check, you ate the marshmallow. You have to accept it. Now, if you have saved your money and you're 40, 45, 50, and you have the equivalent of that money saved away, you are someone that can delay gratification, and then you will not have eaten the marshmallow when you were four. I, Chris, myself, you know what? I would have eaten the marshmallow. I spent everything that I had all the time. Someone like me can change, anyone else can.
Now, I'm just curious, do you know what the percentage was of kids who resisted and didn't eat the marshmallow?
The highest 33% stayed there without eating it for a very long time. The middle 33 stayed for a little while, they did not eat it, but then they went after it. But there were 33% that really went for it immediately.
Oh, okay, so 30, 30, 30. Interesting.
Yeah.
The book is Don't Eat the Marshmallow Yet, and Joaquim, just to wrap this up, any last words for folks who might be listening, some advice from you?
One of the most important secrets that we have found is that you can change your behavior and you can change your thoughts and you can change your future if you act right now immediately and you start making the right decisions. So no matter where you are in life right now, you might be totally broke, you can change and you can be very rich when you retire after you're 65.
Joaquim Posada, Don't Eat the Marshmallow Yet.
Thank you, Chris. It's been a pleasure talking to you. And don't eat the marshmallow, okay?
Time now for our 60-second Success Journal story about a scientist who finds a way to move water and soaks up a fortune. As a youngster, Lonnie was always in trouble. The curious kid couldn't stop taking apart his toys to see how they worked. His mom finally got him to stop, but Lonnie remained curious. Years later, he got a cool job as a lab scientist. Lonnie's love of mechanics kept him tinkering at his laboratory bench till late at night. And that's where he created a high-pressure nozzle, deciding it would make a great water toy. At first, no toy companies were interested. So he took another shot, this time showing off a complete prototype, and it sold instantly. The name of his creation? It's called the Super Soaker, the world's most popular squirt gun. Though it wasn't his aim, Lonnie Johnson took a shot and found a way to soak up a real fortune. And you know, speaking of getting soaked, I shelled out some bucks to old Lonnie myself because my kids wanted those squirt guns when they were younger. But the neat thing about the Super Soaker story is that one guy took a basic, everyday product that had been around for decades, the squirt gun, and he created an ultimate version of it, sort of like taking a Chevy and turning it into a Rolls Royce. And you know, there are countless numbers of basic, everyday products out there just waiting for somebody to recreate them as super products. Something to think about. Well, that's it for today's episode. Thank you for listening. I'm Chris Whitting for Success Journal, wishing you a highly successful day.